You are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
After Show.
Yes, yes. Thank you for tuning in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. The After Show. All right, so I'm not able to see who's on the chat box here. So, roll call. Who do you have on the line here?
It's Rob D. Hello, folks.
No punch.
All right. And then we still have our guests, correct? Richard, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You know, very interesting information. I've always felt like my condition today has had something to do with not only the vaccines, but my being a heat casualty.
Casualty thing is a definite fact of what happened. But what exacerbated that is they were feeding you all foods to keep you in the sympathetic. You're supposed to be in the fight mode if you're going to be in a warrior. And what they do is they feed you all this sugar, and that sugar, like I just said earlier in the program, breaks down all the tissues of your body. So you're not so much a heat victim as you are a insulin sugar degraded human being. And that affects all your organs. All your organs are made of tissues, which have to have sugar for life, but they should get it from slow-burning fats, and instead they're getting it from fast-burning glucose, which is very destructive. And you never go into parasympathetic, and that's what can turn you around. They keep you in that fear situation.
Well, coming from soldier to truther, I realized how expendable I was and how experimental I was, how they didn't want me to live. I was there to die.
Well, they wanted you to live while you could be productive and be a soldier, but you were supposed to die right after you got used.
Well, war in itself is a Luciferian ritual of blood sacrifice. Well, I mean, think about it.
Well,
you put somebody on the altar to bleed. They die, and the priest or whoever gains something in return. Would that be land, resources, money, etc.? It's a satanic ritual in itself. So I was there to be sacrificed, to be experimented on, and just like the rest of the soldiers, anyone, and I'd say this today, anybody who joins the military, you are in a cult. You are of a cult. You are a cultist. So I know. Yeah. I used to be one.
But everyone,
and secondarily, Bedley Butler, Butler said war is a racket, and a very profitable racket. So there's many aspects of advantage to the powers that be by using us as experimental animals, slaves, and getting the most out of us in a variety of perspectives, and you just pointed out one of them, and finance is another.
Yes, but even in the military, everyone falls in their category, their rank, so to speak. Some people go in and, they might start out as a private, the lowliest rank, and then wind up a general, captain, or sergeant. They have officers and non-commissioned officers. So, but the ones that's out front being the, cannon fodder that are expendables, like the pawns on the chessboard.
Great analogy. That's exactly how the world is constructed. We used to be in a feudal system, and we had kings and priests, and that's what I thought we were going to talk about. We never got to it. But now we're in a corporate feudal system, and the same rules apply in a different context.
Oh, okay, you're right. So it's just a matter of just blending our imaginations to deal with a same chessboard, but just different pieces. So, okay. All right, I got it. You know, if everyone can just take the small life lessons that they learn, you know, just a little thing every day, and try to make themselves a little bit better today than they were yesterday, and better tomorrow than they are today, we might be able to fix this thing. Just saying.
Well, at the very least, we're going to be more nutritionally healthy, and we're going to live a long and healthy life.
That sounds good, but not with the pending food shortage, because that's the next stage in this crisis scenario that I see. They've been hinting that there's going to be major food shortages. There've been power outages all over the country, and every major city and municipality, kind of like they've been priming it now. And next thing you know, once the power goes out, then everything in the freezers go out, and everything in the stores goes out, and it's only a matter of time. If you don't have something growing in your backyard, you'd be out there trying to catch squirrels. And
I was just about to say that, Melvin. I don't think there's going to be any. I personally don't see that happening. Any food shortages, because they control us by food.
Run or the long run.
Hold
it's going to happen eventually. They're already making manufactured foods from
Do you really think McDonald's is going to give up their empire, their control over us, which their food is killing us and dumbing us down?
It is body parts anyway. They're already conditioned to eat one another as it is. So
McDonald's is going to change direction. They're going to start selling those impossible foods, kind of like Melvin's mentioned, using the cricket powders and proteins from insects and the GMO soy and basically anything that Don Culazon creates to poison us. As far as crops go, a lot of them have not grown to fruition. They have not been harvested or replanted because geoengineering has killed them for the past 2-3 years. So I do see a shortage in some of the stuff that we'll need to feed ourselves. So you got to get your beans, your lentils, your rices, your staples to survive this.
Yes, and you know, even
but
the organic.
If that were to happen, we are going to push to have our own gardens. Yes,
that's going to take months to feed. Once the thing hits, people are not going to have much time to prepare. And if it happens like in the midst of or just before the winter dawns upon us, you're going to find people. Either frozen to death or starved to death by the time of the spring thaw. It's, I don't know.
I think would make it. It's during that time period, people are going to get pissed.
Yes.
Desperate.
Yes.
That is what we need.
Especially if they got small children. You got fathers with small children worrying about their kids crying because they're hungry. Oh, there's nothing that they wouldn't do. It's going to be a desperate situation.
So I'm telling you, if there's a shortage of food, our government will not continue. We will not allow them to continue.
That would be the straw that broke the camel's back, now, wouldn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is exactly what happened in China and Russia. And where are they now?
Well, they're capitalist systems, just like the United States. But
well,
now
they're corporate systems. They're not capitalist.
Just like Japan. After World War II and Japan came online, now we got China and Russia in our back pocket. It's just a matter of time. There are capitalistic countries now. Communism only exists in China. So
they're not capitalist, they're communist. Yeah. And they're corporate.
Well,
corporate
China
feudalism.
And North Korea. Yeah, it's all corporation-based and oriented. The whole scheme of things. The only thing that would actually work, not socialism or capitalism or communism, it's
communitarianism.
At all. No money, nothing of value, only a person's word, their character, and the honest work that they do. And the honest work that you do should be able to have the government provide you with a home, car, transportation, free electricity, communications, Wi-Fi, cell phone, clothes, anything you want. You should be able to go into any establishment that has that sort of thing and just pick up what you need and walk out. You're not going to take extra stuff because you can't sell it because there's no such thing as monetary gain for it.
Where's Saddam Hussein? He tried that. What happened to him?
No, his system was different. There's been some model cities that they've set up on experimental basis to to try that theory, and they have no government, no police force, no crime, no prisons. It's a utopian society, but it's not profit driven, or no, they can't see a profit in it. Of course not. So they're not going to do it. But it would be in the best interest of everyone. Then you wouldn't have to worry about children who are in kindergarten. And you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a rock star. I want to be a baseball player because of the salaries that they're going to get. Each child would aspire to be whatever God-given gift that God bestowed upon them, you know, to be.
Are you referring to contributionism, Ubuntu?
Well, you know, we can banter around names all night long. We only have an hour left, but I don't try to put a label on any of it. It's a new concept, and you can call it whatever you like. But bottom line is that the most beneficial thing that we could do as a species is to get rid of money altogether.
That's the book by Michael Kellinger, Ubuntu, and the subtitle is Exposing the Global Banking Fraud. People who want to get interested in that, they should read that book.
Yes, but you know, I kind of think outside of the box, and I tend to be a little wistful and imaginative, and probably a little bit more than insane, but. I mean, whatever we have going now is not working.
Well, okay.
Depends on who you are.
yeah, it depends on who you are.
Years. Well, yeah, true.
I know I'm a little late with this, but yesterday I watched a documentary called The Corporation. Now, if you're into horror, in the horror movies, you're into.
Yeah. My mother
loves it. If you're into to Satan, variant worship, watching The Corporation was like opening up the Necronomicon.
No way.
Every evil that could possibly exist.
Wow. Come on, Jack. That's
gasping. I watched that documentary as well about 2 weeks ago. It is an eye-opener. It really is. If you don't understand the full extent of the spider web that's been ensnaring us for generations upon generations, and I suggest people watch that. Just Google The Corporation documentary. So, it's on YouTube.
There's only two ways the thing will change. If there's a worldwide cataclysmic event, like a supervolcano erupts and the last 1,000 people on Earth decide they want to repopulate Earth again, let's hope they do it without money or greed or banks or, you know, loans or any of that.
And people think that, oh, we have the government to protect us from these corporations.
Well, good luck with that.
Listen, from the stuff that I had seen on there, and I've been aware of this, but just to see it put to a documentary had that more of an impact on me. But you have these corporations, and you have the government. Oh, the government will protect us. The government will fine them if they did this. Well, they'll make way more profit doing something illegal and just paying the fine. But the thing is, the government knows that. The government is basically just saying, hey, here's our payoff. It's not a fine, it's a payoff, so you can continue to do something illegal. People need to understand the wording. It's mind control. It's not a fine. They're not fining the corporations for doing illegal stuff. They're getting their tax. They're getting their extortion. They're getting their cut. If it really was a fine, there would be a drastic markup of the fine in relation to their their crime, their profit. Yeah.
But they do the same crime over and over again.
Over and over again.
They pay the fine, get money, and then do it again, and get fined several times for the same offense. And the whatever fine they get should be proportionate to how many times they done violate it. But no,
that's who said I put a multiplier on it. Right, if they really cared.
Yeah.
Listen, look at the tobacco industry. They lost a lawsuit that they got fined heavily about the lying about the smoking dangers and how they manipulated it. The fines didn't go to us people from the class action lawsuit. The fine went to the state to be used to further oppress us. It doesn't even go to us.
And they get the
table is tilted, folks.
At the same time, they get the taxes from the cigarette sale on top of the fines, and they get it from both ends. Like
listen, and the lawyers get paid. Don't forget the lawyers.
Yes, Les. But the lawyers are doing big fine.
It's funny that you brought up the tobacco thing here because I used to love this. I was a bar back and the kitchen manager at this bar and grill eons ago. And they had put out this ban on smoking in the restaurants. It was in Austin, Texas, okay. And the place I worked at said, screw that. Let everybody smoke. We'll pay the fines.
Nice.
Because we get more clientele here since everybody else is following the rules. Everybody's coming here now.
That's good business.
That's good business.
It's good business. If we can get $3 billion and pay $1 million in fines, I'm good with that. Yes. All right.
The vaccine industry, they paid out over $4 billion in damages to parents and children for being damaged by vaccines, but they made 100 times more than that. Yes. In profit. So, the fine is just an operating cost of the business, isn't it?
They should be able to get 1% of their profits and 99% of their the 1% of the profit. The other 99%, let that be the fine. If they made $400 million, let them pay $439 million and they keep $1 million. Then you won't see it happening as many times. They won't do that again.
Take all their private money away from them. If you made money off the death industry, your money should go. Turn theirs into zeros through the same system they do to us.
Like dominoes once we do that. And we will do it.
Okay, guys. I've completely forgot about the callers. Let's get the callers in. Let's line 3. Let's go. Caller, go ahead. Oh, I don't know.
How you doing, Mike? Good to see you.
I can't see the screen right now. Go ahead.
Alan from Texas is the first one.
Am I on?
You're there, sir.
Hey, ahead. This is Alan in Texas. Hey, man, I got so many ways that y'all twisted off since I first called in. I'd like to say does the phrase Soylent Green, what they're driving us towards, come to mind?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I love listening to you guys' show because y'all twist off like I do in all different directions because you see the strings and the possibilities and what they're actually doing to us. I mean, it's basically simple in its concept. You know, the only part where it gets difficult and complex is when it feeds out into the operational nodes.
Or trying to explain someone else. It gets complicated there as well.
I'm calling to ask about the food, what about if you eat meat, but it's, lightly sauteed, basically almost still raw, you hear that you have to heat it to where it kills the bacteria. Does that actually destroy the nutritive value? And what about like ceviche, which is, basically cooked in like a lime juice? Does that destroy the nutritive content?
Yeah, well, every culture has had a raw food dish, ceviche, poi. I can't think of them right now. What's the other one? What's
steak tartare?
Sashimi. Steak tartare. But bottom line, those other preparations without heat don't affect the nutritional status. They actually enhance it. Usually it's an acid that's used to prepare the food, and it's the same as the stomach acid that our stomach uses to digest the food, so it's actually enhancing digestion. Secondarily, like a steak, in fact, I have a story. I had a friend who just couldn't believe I ate raw food, and we made a trip to San Diego, and he had to stop. He said he was starving, and I said, well, let's stop at a steakhouse. And he goes, you'll eat a steak? And I go, yeah, but I'll tell the cook how to prepare it. And he'd eaten at in Europe and at extensive, expensive restaurants and stuff like that. So what I went into, and this was a one called I can't forget the name of it now, but it was, you know, kind of one of those. It'll come to me. But anyway, we went into this restaurant, and I said, "Can I talk to the cook?" And he was right there around the corner. And I said, "What I want you to do is put the steak on the grill, and then I want you to flip it over, and as fast as you can get it off, I want you to put it on a plate. If it's cooked more than that, I'll send it back." So he did that to two steaks. We both had our steaks. And my friend said, "This is one of the best steaks I've ever had." Because what you're doing, if there's any bacteria, it's on the external side of each side of the steak, and you're searing that off. And then you're getting complete nutrition by eating the raw middle of the steak, which allows you to get the nutrition you're also supposed to get. So you're killing two birds with one stone. Basically, you're preventing any possible infection from bacteria or E. coli or whatever. And secondarily, you're enhancing your nutrition and your immune system by getting non-cooked food. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know, I've also heard that, you know, actually for, you know, us, since we're not, you know, strict omnivores, that, you know, that if you like, you know, just what do you call it, blanching, you know, like peas or beans or things like that, you know, that it slightly helps break down, you know, the cellulose walls, which we're not, you know, we don't have four stomachs, we're not ruminants or anything, that it actually helps break down the cellulose slightly, so it actually makes the nutrients more available to our system. Is there any truth
in
that?
Yeah, what they find is that if you're going to cook vegetation with, as you said, the cellulose that kind of protects the vegetable and or the food that you're eating, and yeah, what they find is when you heat those, hopefully as little as possible, just to break down the cellulose, that you actually get better nutrition because you've actually enhanced the absorption of nutrition in that product. Because, like you said, we don't have more than one stomach, and we need to get it as quickly as possible in the small intestine after our after our stomach has digested it with acid. And most things that are high fibrous don't get broken down that quick. That's why we can eat vegetation that's highly fibrous, and we don't get that much sugar, but we also don't get that much vegetation. They did a study once and kind of compared cooking and non-cooking, and what they found was the people that ate cooked protein and fat didn't digest it. Essentially, all they got was the sugars from the carbohydrates in the meal, and the rest of it just kind of went through the tube. So when you talk to people, they go, "Oh, man, I ate high protein and fats. I got a really good diet." And you ask them if they cook it, you find out really they're getting no nutrition. They're actually committing suicide. They're getting cross-linked protein. They're getting rancified fats, and they're getting a lot of sugar and insulin to break down their body. So and absorbing no nutrition because they don't actually get the proteins and fats when they're eating it with carbohydrates. So what we're being told about nutrition is you know, just to continue the program of having us live quick and die after doing our duty as slaves.
And let me have this one last little comment here, and I'll let y'all go because, man, like I said, y'all think, you know, that's why I like listening to your show. Y'all think and you see possibilities. But, you know, once again, you know, in today's world, you know, maybe if you raise your own beef cattle, or, you know, you go out and you shoot your own, harvest your own deer, you know, whatever, you know, even grow your own garden. But, you know, then you think that you're eating good, but then you look up in the skies and you see these trails and tendrils of this crap that's being sprayed up there, you know, falling on us. And unless you're in a hyper filtered environment, you know, even our plants, you know, even if you grow it in your own garden as organically as you can, I mean, it is. Are we actually, can we eat healthy anymore?
You know, Eureka.
Good point. It's all contaminated. You're absolutely right. Cooking does.
I've watched, and you point out to people, and they say, "Oh, yeah, aren't those nice, beautiful, straight, white, God-made clouds?" And I'm like, "No, God, you're, watch what it does." And they're like, you know, you do this, and their eyes glaze over, and they look up, and it's like, "Is it going to rain today?" You know, I mean,
wow.
You know, the society that's being created around us, they're, man, I don't have a lot of hope. You know, it's guys like you that give me any hope, and you know, y'all are family. You know, man, I'll let you get on with your show. I'll quit interrupting. Y'all twist off any way you want, man. I can follow you anyway. I love listening to y'all.
We love to have enlightened listeners call in and give their commentary, and you
give us hope.
Yes, thanks, sir.
Keep going, guys.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, I know we have other callers, but let's pick them up after the break. I do want to say that, yeah, they've got everything planned around everything. So, yeah, it may not even be possible to grow our own gardens in our front yards and backyards as they have illuminated the soil.
Yeah.
Again, Monsanto trying to patent soil of that food can grow in. So they're cutting everybody off, basically. Monsanto says, if you're not buying food from us, you ain't eating.
Exactly. Yeah.
Second thing that most shows don't talk about is Yuan was the center of agriculture for China. Our Midwest is now being inundated with bad weather and no financing support. A lot of farmers can't even buy seed because they don't have the financial support for the banks and the quote-unquote coronavirus. So not this year, but next year, where's the food coming from?
If you have a greenhouse, you're protected from the atmosphere. You got to detoxify your water even. And if you take all the minerals out of the water, you have to replace them somehow. So there's this big challenge that is coming up for how to grow toxin-free food. And like Vee said, Monsanto's right there ready with, geoengineering-proof seeds and plants, that it survives the aluminum and survives drought. It could survive wetness and molds that we see growing on the leaves of so many trees around the planet. So, yeah, we have a challenge that our minds must get around. It's a hurdle. That's all it is.
We either eat what they sell us or we eat one another. That's the only two choices they're going to leave us.
Our elite have figured that out. They have been consuming human flesh in its raw form.
And let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, guys. Who is Monsanto's competition?
Bill Gates.
No. Who's Monsanto's competition in the industry that they're in?
U.S. government? I was never good on multiple choice questions.
That's a very, very good question. You have Dow Corning, right? That they've invested in the seed program as well. And there's also foreign investors, but it seems to be that Monsanto has won that race through, like the spider web. They put different feelers out and fund different areas. And I know Big Bill. Well-funded.
Monsanto owns the chemicals and they own the seed, but Bill Gates owns all the farmland. He's buying it up in Africa cheap. The same government giving back land to the natives is selling it to Bill Gates. It's just fucking marriage, man.
Yeah,
he's going to own land.
Absolutely. Listen. My point being, Monsanto doesn't have any real competition, which makes Monsanto a monopoly. That's why we don't have a choice, okay? This monopoly is therefore illegal.
Aren't there laws against monopoly. That? Isn't it like the antitrust laws? Aren't they in violation of the law? Give them a thing.
They're in violation of the law in so many ways. Listen, it was Monsanto that called the hit on the Oklahoma City Hospital.
What?
Because of all the Agent Orange soldiers that went there, poisoned by Agent Orange, all of our U.S. troops, adversely killed by Monsanto. That's why the Oklahoma City bombing happened, to get rid of those records.
And here I thought they was only from the Roundup. So Monsanto's been killing Americans for, what, decades?
It's their industry.
To answer your question, I did a quick Google search on this. Who is Monsanto's major competitors? And like I had mentioned, you had the American giant Dow Chemical Company. Oh, we have commercial break. Epigene Limited and Syngenta from out of Switzerland. Now I'll hush and let the commercial go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Yes. Well, let's just jump right back in here. I'm so glad for our listeners and even more grateful for our callers. I want to say I'm glad that we are making sense to you, not to diminish our audience here, but you're the Petri dish right now, and we've gotten great results from you. We will be put into a position here, especially this show, to where we are going to be listened to worldwide by tens of millions of people per night. And I think the only direct competition we're going to have that's going to actually be joining us is Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero Radio. He's the fourth most listened to radio personality on the in the U.S., and, well, he's decided to join our project. So, we are going to, I know I've had some people come onto the show and not say very good things about Clyde Lewis, not to burn him down. He doesn't know what I know, I know the people got the answers that they needed from me and didn't get from him. But then again, he's not a targeted individual, so he can't get the information that I'm able to give. But we're going to work together anyways. We're gonna do the stuff, okay? So if he's number four, guess what? We're going to be rising up very quickly. Very quickly. So I'm glad that you have reaffirmed that we put on a good show. Again, I've sworn to secrecy for a little while longer here. So is John Stadmiller, my partner, one of my partners. And, well, for those of you who don't know, he's the owner of this network. great guy. And Mike, please schedule him on the show. Once again, I got to remind you. well, let's go ahead and get back to the lines before I eat up all the time we have. Yes. I can't see the board, so just throw them on there, Mike. Okay, Andy, let's go, Andy. What you got for me, brother?
Oh no, I got some stuff for you, bro.
All right.
life has slapped me in the face. My entire family. You know, I tried to invite them about what's going on and what's the real stuff going on, and they just slapped me in the face. And, you know, it's great. I got four kids, and my four kids, all of them slapped me in the face. So we get to live in a world where, you know, I actually thought I brought, because I was awake before my children got here, and I actually thought I brought some warriors to this world. And I brought four wimpy-ass people to this world. I added to the problem.
No, brother. No. You're wrong. Because you were enlightened going into it, and you saw it was, flaming. And, no, it carries on. That energy that you brought into the world, it just didn't go where you thought it was going to go. But, no, you did good. You contributed to it.
You're right. No, I did not. No, I enlightened them the entire way that bringing them up, I enlightened them. And I told them about what I knew. And any parent would, because that's what you do. I mean, it's your offspring. You want them to know what you know and get on with life. But they still took, you know, my four siblings. Only one. My boy won. They got one boy. He stood out, and he's standing up for me. But three other people, they're not just standing up for me. I mean, they aren't standing up for me. But they're bringing me down. They're trying to discredit me. They're trying to make me feel like I did something wrong. And this
consider the source, though. You bring in the truth. Consider the source of the people that's judging you, and just know that what you're doing is the right thing, and you're bringing light to a dark place. So just consider where that criticism is coming from, and the only one that's really, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, that's bringing you down is yourself, because you're letting how you perceive how they perceive what you're doing affect you, instead of just staying true to your mission. That's what you were put here for. We each were brought here for a reason. It's not like random or by chance or, you know, no. Everyone's here for a reason. We all have gifts we have to bring. And like that story about the rock soup, the whole village was starving until the stranger walked in with, he said, I'm going to make stone soup. And he tossed a stone into a big kettle in the middle of the town square. And then one person brought some potatoes. Somebody brought some onions. And before you knew it, you know, people, you know, everyone ate from the little bit that everyone contributed.
Milt Melvin's favorite
and that is,
story. go ahead.
No. That's a hell of a story. And I love that. I'm sorry. I'm a solid soul tonight because, I mean, my entire family just dogged me, but one boy gave me, you know, the courage to just stay alive because he believes in me. One out of four kids I had gave me some solid. And that's cool. I'm good with that. No problem. But the fact that we are living in this little world here and three out of my four siblings sold my ass out, that makes me sick.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Andy, it's great to hear from you again. We got to get to the next caller. Thank you for calling. Call again tomorrow night.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's get the next caller on, Mike. Go ahead, caller.
Hang in there, Andy. All isn't lost because no one in my family listens to me either. It's amazing. but I wanted to mention, you guys were talking about corporations, and I wanted to go back to the Constitution held in secret by a few people. They created a corporation. A corporation shields the actors from prosecution. So they shielded themselves from prosecution. There is nowhere in the Constitution where you can actually go after a bad government agent except under treason. And treason is defined as warring against the government. So it's against the law to attack your attackers. That's a corporation, and that's what we have in the Constitution.
Well, I mean, when you have these agents selling children, selling drugs, selling firearms, you know, they get caught. Oh, what? There's a sting. Or you know, again, you can't be a criminal to catch a criminal. You need to be a law enforcement to catch a criminal. Whoever said that whole thing of you got to be something to catch something is an idiot. That's just the mind control excuse. Okay? If you're a good police officer, you know, if you're worth your salt, you can be a detective. You can catch a criminal. You can catch a drug dealer. You can patrol. You can see these things happening. To actively, to make the excuse of actively going out to set traps, doing what they do, and then, oh, you know, transaction goes, oh, wait, that was a good deal. Let's up the ante. We made some good money here. A lot of these sting operations, a lot of these situations don't actually amount to any arrest. It amounts to more business.
Right, but still, why are they going after the low-level criminals? You have these corporate criminals who are robbing us much, much, much more. But to get to what you were saying about why should people do this and why should people do that, everyone is just basically trying to survive. You have to do what you have to do. If you have children at home that are hungry, and you have to figure out a way to feed them. Either you're going to go out there and get a job, sell drugs, or rob somebody. That's where that came from.
Reverse the judgment that corporations are a person. We all clearly know that is not true. They took an act that was meant to free people.
No, but legally, they are an individual.
They took that act and made themselves the new enslavers.
True. Right, let me step in for a moment.
Legally defined, it's a person, and they can take out a loan as an individual can, and they are not subject to all the laws and restrictions as an individual would be. They can't be taken before a corporation. Well, it can't be taken before a criminal court. So, all right, I'll let one of our other more knowledgeable guests.
Well, let me step in real quick, and I'll hop out, if I may. They never say man or woman. When you say individual, person, child. An attorney told my daughter, and I told her this, when you go to court protecting your daughter, she's property. I require the restoration of my property. Call her property. Her lawyer told her,
that's facts.
You can't call her by her name. You can't call her by her name. You have to go for the best interest of the child because the child is a product. And I said, see what I've been telling you. They called her a product. I called her property for purposes of court, but not purposes of hugging and kissing and raising her. So they never say a man or a woman. They always use a different term, which removes you from the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's what corporations do. Thank you.
Good point. Very good point. I got to say this. They never throw the driver of the bus under the bus, or the bus itself can't go under the bus. They just take off a random passenger, and they throw him under the bus, and everybody goes, yay, the problem is fixed. And meanwhile, the bus keeps going on down the pike, just like it always.
I like that analogy. Did you make that up?
Yeah, it's just something I was sitting here thinking of. I was looking for a moment to chime in. I like sarcasm. The sarcasm is a great teacher. You go, ha, 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 ha. Ooh, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, that's kind of what I see going. And that's what always happens. You look at the banking scandals of when they crashed the system deliberately in the early 2000s. A couple people got in trouble, or look what they did with Enron when they stole everybody's retirement money. Two-thirds of Americans' money was invested in it. They took one guy and threw him underneath the bus, and everybody's like, yay, the problem's solved. It's out of the news now, but it's still going on, that type of stuff. So, yeah, you ain't going to throw the driver of the bus under the bus. It'd be nice to see. I would pay tickets to watch that, you know, pay for you.
Well, the thing is, we all need to be certified. We all need to learn how to drive the bus so that we can throw the bus driver underneath the bus and we just somebody else takes over.
Yeah, I call that walking your truth. And we all need to walk our truth because everybody sees a different perspective of what's going on. And we all need to speak up, stand up. While we're still allowed to, finding these networks and these outlets, coming on these shows as a caller, and getting your opinion out there is very important. It helps us all see everybody else's perspective. It dispels the loneliness that we often feel when we're overdroned by the voices of the fluoride-headed masses of this world that just, if it doesn't come across the television screen, they don't believe it. That's one reason I do videos, is because it puts my information on a format that people consider to be more factual to it. Because, look, it's on TV. This is a video. It must be real, you know. So we got to use our oppressors' tools to oppress them back, that's for sure. Jeff, I love shows like this and the opportunity
well,
I was given to be
honest. Speaking of which, we are launching TLB TV. Well, okay, I can't say launching. We're pre-recording for TLB TV starting this weekend. So, Rob, get ready.
Everybody I'm ready. I'm all ready. I got my lights set up. I got my green screen out of pole in the corner all rolled up nice. Everything's ready to go here. I just need to do one more test run with you, but we both got busy this week.
We'll get it all straightened out, that's for sure. Do we still have our guest on the line? He's been a little quiet.
No, he's still here.
Okay. Go.
Ken from New York is still waiting as well.
Okay. Yes, let's get that next caller in, please.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. You have a question for me? Or...
You go ahead. Still have the guest from the last hour? I just wanted
yes.
to...
He's still here. Go ahead.
I think one of the competition of Monsanto would be Cargill, but I'm not sure if they're primarily in Canada or not. They're a big food company, and I think they make GMO seeds, but I'm not sure about that.
They're primarily a grain company, and they've GMO'd most of their grains. Basically, they're the problem and not the solution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is your opinion on using air frying? I bought one recently, and I love it.
Yeah, it's good for taste, and that's what cooking does besides the bad things. It also brings out the sugar, so it tastes sweeter. So you think you're getting benefits because it tastes a lot better, but in reality, what you're doing is, like I said, you're taking most of the nutrition out of the food for getting the sugar. And over time, the sugar will break down your body and cause problems. So you'll be quicker to get exposed to diseases and general debilitating situations.
Mm. Yeah, I thought it would be an improvement over, you know, using external oils, which mostly are all rancid.
Everything's
like
a continuum, and it's whatever your body feels comfortable. I'll give you kind of a story. I was working with a lady that was, quote-unquote, get written off for death, and her kids came to me, her children came to me, and said, you got to help my mother. And I said, well, I'll be happy to. And so I told her what the program was, and basically it just completely stressed her for the fact that she was eating raw eggs and raw foods. And the kids came to me and said, she's getting worse. And I said, well, how's she doing with the food? She just doesn't like the food. She just, it really bothers her that she's not being given cooked food. And I said, well, in that case, the stress of you know, taking in a product that you think is harmful to you is more of a problem than getting good food. So basically what I would do was feed her the foods that she likes best, and make sure that her emotional situation is the best it can be. That's almost as good as eating the best food. And how you'll notice that is if you find a lady that just fell in love, a young girl, she can eat all the junk food and whatever, and she'll be the healthiest she's ever been, because your hormones and your emotional state also affect your health, not just the nutrition you get.
I tell you what, I'm going to talk about this on the air. I have an addiction. I have a drug addiction, okay? I'm addicted to chocolate muffins. Now, I literally can eat 2 or 3 muffins a night. And these things are enriched. Chocolate chunks in them, just enriched. You know, that with a glass of milk. I notice if I do that 3 nights in a row, when I sleep, I wake up sleeping, my shoulder muscles hurt. Because I sleep on my side, but I can't sleep on my stomach or my back. So I sleep on my side. So I notice after days and days of consumption of these sweets, my muscles kind of hurt. If I back off 2 or 3 days, I get the feeling normal again.
Yeah, that's an overpresentation of glucose coupled with the insulin. And what that does is lowers the integrity of the cellular structure. So if you're sleeping on your side, you're actually limiting the circulation. You're challenging the integrity of the system even more. And bottom line, wow, it's got to recover from that. Otherwise, it'll just get worse and worse.
Oh, but I love like chocolate muffins.
I can't wait to try them.
Go ahead, caller. Sorry about that.
Earlier you said something about, I'm talking the guest, about something to enhance stomach acid or digestion.
Yes, as we get older, we stop secreting hydrochloric acid and bile from the gallbladder.
Right.
And what you can do is have you ever heard of a company called Standard Process?
No.
Okay. You can look that one up. Basically, what they did, this was the genius of Royal Lee, and you can look him up. But what they did is food concentrates. So all of their products are basically food concentrated and as little processed as possible. But almost any hydrochloric acid, betaine hydrochloride, will enhance your digestive process, especially if you're eating proteins and fats. And you can also take bile products, the big one being pig bile is big on the market, but there's a caveat with that. Basically, you can't get any too much hydrochloric acid because your body has no way to gauge how much, and it can't limit its production if you put more hydrochloric acid in the system. It just utilizes that and eliminates it. Bile is not that case. bile your body regulates according to the amount of fat you bring into your body. So you don't want to just continually take bile. You want to vary it as much as possible. Vary the amount, vary the time, do it like every other day, every third day. Don't do any in between. So you want to confuse your body to make it think that, you know, you're not getting a steady amount of bile, so it'll stop production. So you want to maintain as much production as possible, even though you're getting older and less efficient. So, yeah, supplement yourself continually with hydrochloric acid and occasionally with a high-fat meal with bile, and you'll find a much improved digestion.
I have to for legal reasons. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not sure if anybody on the panel is a medical doctor. One size does not fit all medically, and consult your own physician. We have to say these things or we get in a lot of trouble. So I just wanted to throw out that was the disclaimer.
Oh, wait. No, this show is about free speech, okay?
Look what they did to Jilly, who invented the Jilly juice that was healing so many people. They charged her with murder.
I've seen that Jilly juice stuff, okay? Listen, that's people were getting sick off of that.
Yeah, but if you're dealing with terminally ill patients, people are going to die, and they prosecute her. That was the only reason I did that. I throw a little disclaimer out there just to
listen.
To ha 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 the system.
You and I are going to have to. We might have to make this into another episode. I got opposite information on the Jilly G situation. I think she should be in prison.
I might could get her on the air.
I don't know. Maybe.
I know we got Alana Freeland coming on tomorrow night. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, well, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I think as long as you're not taking money for your education as opposed to advice, I don't think you have a problem there. It was actually the court case that started all of this stuff with people making disclaimers. Happened in 1999, I think. I've seen references to it.
Well, the information's not coming out of our mouths. It's the guest, and we promote freedom of speech, and that's what it's about.
All right, you can say I did it all.
I just have to be careful. I know where I'm living. I have to walk a tightrope, really, doing what I do.
Oh, don't be like the flying Wallendas. You know, they had a habit of falling off the rope every once in a while.
Yeah, they turned the lights off on them, didn't they? We don't want our lights put out.
Okay, good night, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Richard, you're going to have to come back onto the show again sometime. Well, let's have you on Thursday this week. Is that all right with you?
I'm just... if you want to keep calling me back, would it be better just to do an every Monday thing
You got it. Listen, we'll have you back on Monday to get to the real topic. But for right now, we don't have time for any more time. Show's ending.
Well the name of my Monday show would be Glimpses of Objective Reality.
Oh, boy.
That's a mouthful.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.